Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I encourage you to keep open the gospel reading so that you can reference it during the course of this devotion. My dear friends, if I were to ask you what is the most significant difference between the Lutheran and the Catholic Church, how many of you would say, Lutherans say we're saved by grace alone, and Catholics say we're saved by grace and works? How many would think of that first? How many of you would answer, the Catholics pray to Mary and the saints, and Lutherans don't? How many of you would probably recognize that? Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. I think maybe some of you, if you have Catholic friends, know that prayer. It's the most common, I suppose. It's called the Rosary, or called the Hail Mary. Now, to be fair, Roman Catholics would tell you that they really don't worship Mary. The Roman Catholic Church and its counterpart, the Orthodox Church, which you find over in Greece and Russia and that part of the world, make a very, very big distinction about worship and veneration. We used to take our juniors at Shoreland on a field trip, and one of the places we went to was the Church of St. Helen and Constantine. It's a Greek Orthodox church in Milwaukee. If you've never been to a Greek Orthodox church, the artwork is absolutely spectacular. And what is defining about the Eastern Orthodox Church is there's always at the altar a big picture of Jesus and Mary. She's called the Theotokos, the Mother of God. And Mary is always associated, always sitting next to Jesus. So one of the students one year asked why they worshiped Mary, and the bishop was a little bit put off by that question, and he said, you have to understand that we venerate, we don't worship. And it kind of goes back to their idea that prayer really isn't part of worship. So when they pray to Mary and the saints, they're simply just giving them honor rather than giving them worship. I find it very difficult to wrap my head around that concept of what the difference is, because usually we use those terms as synonyms, don't we? When you venerate somebody, you in a sense worship them. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not up here today to bash the Catholics and the Orthodox, but I think it's important to remember that false teaching is a sin, because what it does is it leads people away from Jesus and from the salvation that he has won for us. It's what, and we pray that God would protect us from that every time we say in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. But maybe on the other end of the spectrum, Lutherans have gone a little too far. Since we don't want to worship Mary, maybe we, as Pastor said, throw her under the bus too much. So what's the right way to worship Mary? Are you afraid to call her the Mother of God? Or are you okay with saying, as Martin Luther did, that she is the Queen of Heaven? What is the right way to honor the Virgin Mary? After all, she is the one who says, from this day on, all nations will call me blessed. What's the right way to honor the Virgin Mary? Well, if we're going to talk about the right way, you have to understand that there's also a wrong way. And I'd like you to understand some of these things a little bit, so that maybe when you are in conversation with somebody from the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church, you might have a little bit of understanding. The first thing that we would say is a wrong way of understanding Mary is that is that she was without sin. That's one of the main teachings, okay? And it's logical, isn't it? But it's not theological. Okay, legends usually are a story that over the course of time, you get right and wrong things added to the story. I think that's kind of what happened in the early Christian church about Mary. If Jesus was sinless, wouldn't his mother have to be sinless too? And so the legend started to say that Mary was without sin. And in fact, in 1854, Pope Pius IX declared and decreed in the Roman Catholic Church that Mary was born without the stain of original sin. Okay? And that if you don't hold to this, that your soul is in the fire of damnation. Now, it's kind of interesting because not even the Greek Orthodox will go that far. And yet they have their own false teaching taken over the course of time. They simply said that Mary decided on her own, through her own free will, never to sin. Now, I think one of the questions that we would ask somebody who holds to that teaching is, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So how can Mary have escaped that word all? The second thing that kind of goes along with that then is that if Mary was sinless, would she have to die? Because death is the wages of sin. They're not even completely agreed on this one in, you know, our brothers and sisters in those denominations. Some believe that Mary was just bodily assumed into heaven, body and soul, a little bit maybe like Elijah. Because she has to sit at the right hand of Jesus on the throne, and she needs to do that body and soul. So there's that teaching. Others kind of wonder maybe if, you know, she followed in the footsteps of her son, therefore she went through death just like Jesus went through death, but then took her place in heaven. Again, I guess if I'm talking to somebody, I might ask, where in the Bible does it say all of these things? And you find out that it isn't biblical, but it is part of the tradition that those two entities take and place alongside of Scripture, not letting Scripture be the sole authority. And it kind of leads to the one that's most disconcerting, I suppose you can say. That Mary is called the mediatrix, or the mediatress, of all graces, or in some cases she's even called the co-redemptrix. The mediatrix is a female mediator, right? Redemptrix is a redeemer, and putting the word co in front of that means that she had a part to play in our salvation as the mother of God. And one of the theologians of the Roman Catholic Church put it this way. He said, "She is not a queen of justice intent on punishing the wicked, but a queen of mercy intent only on winning pardon and peace for sinners." If you think that through a little bit, she's not the queen of justice. Oh, Jesus, yeah, he's a savior, but he's also the one who's going to come to judge. It almost sounds a little bit like good cop, bad cop, right? Go to Mary because, well, she's going to go and pray for you, and she's going to ask for your salvation, and of course Jesus would never, you know, say no to his mother. And so she, if you follow through, quickly becomes a participant in your salvation. And that's where we have a real problem. My wife's grandmother was a devout Catholic all of her life. And she prayed the rosary every day, prayed to Mary every day. But her relationship with Jesus was one of fear. The judge. And in the last couple of weeks of her life, when we visited her one day, she kind of confided and said, "I've been trying all my life to get Jesus to love me. And if he can't accept what I've done for him now, by now," and her voice tailed off. He said, "Grandma, it's not about what you did for Jesus. It's about what Jesus did for you." And my wife Diane and I had an opportunity in those last couple of weeks to keep reminding her of that good news. That it wasn't about a relationship with a mother, but that love that Jesus had for her came directly to her and not via her mom, his mom. Now, I share these documented wrong views about Mary to help us understand the right way to honor her. I believe those wrong teachings about Mary would have her rolling over in her proverbial grave. Let's remember what the Bible says about Mary. A young virgin girl from Nazareth minding her own business when one day an angel appeared to her. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But she was greatly troubled by this statement and was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God. Listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." After hearing the good news, she simply said, "See, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." And then if you remember, the first thing she did was got up and ran to her aunt's place, Aunt Elizabeth. And there, of course, John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and Mary sang the song of our text. It's called the Magnificat. It's a beautiful song, isn't it? And we sing it especially in our evening services. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble state of his servant." Listen again. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And we honor Mary as Mary wants to be honored, as a sinner in need of a Savior, just like we sinners who need a Savior. She does not sit herself next to Jesus' throne. In fact, 33 years later, she will be under the cross, right where we want to find ourselves every day of our life. Our Lutheran confessions teach us that by honoring Mary and the saints, by the way, we are taught to give thanks to God, to be strengthened in faith, and encouraged to imitate the faith and virtues of her and of them. So Mary says in her song today, "The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." As was said earlier, God had a plan for her and called her to carry out that plan. That means she joins the company of the saints before her, Abraham and Moses and David and Elijah and Elisha, all those that God calls for his service. Only hers was a very special one, to carry the Son of God in her womb. Her calling would fill her with joy beyond measure as she watched that little sinless boy grow up and as he went out and proclaimed the good news of salvation. But as Simeon told her, when she brought Jesus to the temple, "A sword will pierce your own soul and that life that she was called to would bring her untold suffering and agony. Yet she did not run from her calling. And isn't that something for us to imitate also? And to learn about virtue in accepting the call that God has given us? When we are asked to bear our own trials and suffering, can't we learn from her? When we look and can't imagine how the Lord can accomplish his purposes through us, can't we learn from her that it's really not about us? It's about the God who works through us. She didn't run from her calling. Let's follow that example. She didn't run, but instead, she turned to the Word of God and glanced down and looked again at the rest of that song that she sang, and it is all about the marvelous works of God, about how all that he had done for his people. Mary's song, in fact, includes snippets of the words of God from Samuel, words that were sung by a woman named Hannah, a barren woman, who was given a son in her old age named Samuel. Hannah did the same thing. It's not about me, it's about our God. That's how she faced her new calling. She didn't look to her own sinlessness. She looked to the promises of her God. And so we honor Mary when we take our eyes off of ourself, which is so easy to focus on, and we instead turn our focus to the works and the promises of God. The Bible on more than one occasion says that Mary saw all these things and she pondered them in her heart. She thought about the goodness of the Lord over and over again. And so when St. Paul tells us, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God, we realize that our waking moments can be focused on what God has done for us. Or as St. Paul tells us again in Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if anything is excellent and if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things. And in so doing, we honor Mary. We honor all those who have walked before us. Mary deserves to be honored, absolutely. But Jesus is worthy of our praise. Because Jesus, true God, assumed our flesh and blood through her. And as true God, he came to carry out that mission of destroying the devil's work. And as true man, he led the sinless life that the Lord required of all of us to live. He bore our weaknesses, including hers, and took that sinless life to the cross as an offering for all of us, for all people. By dying on that cross, he paid for the world's sins and transgressions, and by rising from the dead, he proved to us that we are at peace with the Father because we stand forgiven before him. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, the Bible says he became the one mediator between God and man. And you and I can, in boldness and confidence, as the Bible says, take our prayers and our requests and all our needs to the throne of God. We don't need to go through Mary. We don't need to go through the saints. We simply have access to Jesus, the one we call our Savior and our brother. We don't need anybody to help with prayers, nor our salvation, other than Jesus alone. So we can rightfully say, Lord, give me a simple, humble spirit like your mother. Help me in my life to be as faithful and loving and brave as she was. Let me stand at the foot of the cross with you and all of the saints to see the wonderful grace that your Son has given us by his life and his death and rising. And let me know that my life is safe and secure because of all that he has done. That's the right way to honor Mary. When you sing her song in the worship services, you sing to the same God that she turned to and sang about. And in that way, not only is she blessed, but we are blessed as well. No need to worship, no need to venerate. As Martin Luther once said, Mary is the highest woman and the noblest gem in Christianity after Christ. We can never honor her enough. Still, honor and praise must be given to her in such a way as to injure neither Jesus nor the Scriptures. Be inspired by her. Emulate her virtues. And in that way, you will honor the Virgin Mary the right way. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.